If you'd like to follow along with me this morning, I'll be reading from Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 17. Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 17. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous roots of bitterness grow up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one else is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright for his firstborn son for the single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears.
How appropriate that we began by talking and singing about family. This Thanksgiving holiday is very much about families. I realize not everyone is able to be with family during this time, but those of us that were cherish the opportunity. I know Joyce and I were in Nashville and enjoyed thoroughly our children and our grandchildren, and you have the same experience as well. We have good times we can talk about. We have sad times that we talk about whenever we get together. And isn't that the way it is with the church? How it ought to be? How that we're there for each other in those happy times and those very sad times. This past year, we've had some of those times when we've cried together. People that we have loved dearly have passed on. Others have moved away. We've cried because of the separation. But there are plenty of other times when we laugh together. Somehow we found a reason to laugh when we got ran out of church last week. But here we are back again, right? And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to have bonds that are close, that are strong, that help us as we go through day life struggles. So what a blessing it is to be a part of God's family and to be together again as we are this morning. We're really glad you're here with us. We have a lot of visitors with us today, and we are really glad you've come our way. Some have a background in the church here, either having been raised here or having lived here for a time. We're really glad you've come back home. And others are just passing through, maybe visiting family. We're really glad you've come our way as well. And hope that you can come back and join us again this evening at 6. And we'll worship again at that time, Lord willing. Tonight we're going to be looking at another of those lessons I do occasionally on Bible backgrounds. And this one is on Galilee. Galilee. Now you may be thinking, why? Well, why did Jesus spend so much of his time in Galilee when it looks like the religious headquarters, the center of all activities, was in Judea? Why? And there are reasons we can infer from the Word of God. So I want you to come back and join us. It may help us understand other parts of the Bible better as we get into them. But I'd really like for you to come and join us for that. Also, 5:45, bodybuilders, our little ones are invited to come right here in the new auditorium at 5:45, sing Bible songs, hear Bible stories, learn memory verses. It is something that will help them on down the road. We urge you to get your children here for that. And then also in the old auditorium, many of us will gather again to pray for our nation. I realize the elections are over, but our nation is far from being healed. We have lots of problems that we're going to face in the weeks and months ahead, and we need God's help. So join us. We really want you to join us at 5:45 to pray for our nation, as we should be doing on a regular basis anyway. But we're glad you're with us today and hope that you'll come and join us anytime you can. Now, get your Bible out. Let's turn together to God's Word and learn things that will help us better live the life that Christ intends for us to live. First of all, let me mention an idea that most of you are familiar with, and that is that of a ringmaster. Most of you know what that means. It is the person at the circus that kind of makes everything happen. Sometimes they'll have a whip they'll crack. Sometimes it's a megaphone or some other device. But they're the ones that make things happen. And where would the circus be without a ringmaster? Sometimes we call them the ringleader. But have you ever thought that that word ringleader, other than in the context of a circus, is usually not a good thing? Have you ever thought about that? A ringleader is somebody we think of that is kind of causing trouble, maybe getting people to do things they shouldn't do. In fact, I find this definition on the internet, dictionary.com, says that a ringleader is a person who leads others, especially in opposition to authority, law, etc. And we know from having watched plenty of crime shows on television that when arrests are made of some crime, they're always looking for the ringleader. Who is the one that has caused all of this? Who is the one that is making this happen? And if you can identify that person, then you are well on your way to maybe stopping the problem entirely. Well, the reason we're talking about ringleader is not because it's found in the Bible. It isn't, not in any standard translation. But it may be a good word to use when we're looking at this idea of the root of bitterness. I don't know if you've ever encountered that. I hope you have. I hope you read your Bible and on occasions. You've read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. And there is that idea of the root of bitterness. Is that what we're looking at? A ringleader in a bad sort of way? Well, let's look at it together because the writer urges us to be on the lookout for this. But if we don't know what it is, how can we be on the lookout for it? First of all, let's talk about the root of bitterness and its Old Testament referent. And I want you to begin with me in Hebrews 12 again. I hope you've got your Bible still open to that passage. And I urge you to read with me anytime I go to the Word of God. But Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 15, because here is where that phrase occurs. The writer says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." And again, we think, well, I don't really know what that is. How can I be on the alert for it? How can I see to it that that doesn't happen if I don't know what it is? And so that's the question. What does it mean? Most Bible commentators, scholars generally, will say it has its reference in Deuteronomy chapter 29. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, and let's try to understand what did it mean then. And what was the Hebrew writer trying to do with this idea? And I think you'll see it has a very practical application for our lives today. Deuteronomy chapter 29, we're going to begin reading in verse 16. Deuteronomy 29 and beginning in verse 16. And you know, of course, Moses in the book of Deuteronomy is addressing the people of Israel. He knows his time is drawing near to be taken from them. And yet he wants to give them admonitions. He wants to encourage them to keep doing the way they should be doing. And that's what this book is all about. Now, in verse 16, he says, "You know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them." And I want you to notice there he says, "Remember." Remember the things that we have come through. Remember the things that are detestable. That's not a word that we use often, but it is a strong word. It means I hate it, or I should hate it, because it is detestable to God. And what was it he was talking about? He says, idols, whether made of wood, stone, gold, silver, whatever, they are detestable of God. Don't go back to that. And then he goes on in verses 18 and 19. He says, "Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. There, that idea of a root is found right there. And you can see the similarity between it and what the Hebrew writer says. And what does it mean? It can refer to a man. It can refer to a woman. It may refer to a clan or a tribe. But it's somebody or several somebodies whose heart is turning away from God. Oh, they may still say, I serve the Lord God, yes, but they're also serving other gods. And that's what he says to be on the lookout for. And what's the problem? It will cause the sweeping away of moist and dry alike, meaning it can have some pretty dire effects. And you may say, well, wait a minute, we're talking about one person, maybe one clan, you know, what's the big deal? Let's just let it ride, let it go. Oh, read on with me. Let's look at verses 20 through 28, and then you answer the question, is this something that we can overlook? He says, beginning in verse 20, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for calamity, in accordance with all the curses of the covenant written in the book of the law. And the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from the far land will say, when they see the afflictions of that land, the sicknesses with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown, nothing growing, where no plant can sprout, an overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath. All the nations will say, why has the Lord done this to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then the people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt and went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they had not known, whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land as they are this day. That's serious. Those are serious consequences. And you may remember back at the beginning of the section we read there in Deuteronomy 29, it may have involved just one man, one woman. It may have just been one clan or a tribe. But look at how it spreads. Look at the consequences of it. And that root, that's a very good word to use right there, right? I mean, suppose I say, I have this little root and I'm going to plant it in your yard, if that's okay. And you may say, well, okay, but just out of curiosity, what is it? Well, it's a nice little plant called kudzu. No, you're not going to let me plant that in your yard, are you? Not unless you don't know what it is. Because it takes over. And that's the idea here, is there is this root of bitterness that if you don't stop it now, look at the effects. It's going to take over. It's going to cause calamity on a very widespread scale. And so that's the idea that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. There must be zero tolerance among the people of Israel toward idolaters. There is no other God except the God of Israel. And if you turn to any other God, then you are going to spread disaster in the land. There must be zero tolerance. And we understand this idea from other areas of life. For example, we've heard about the Ebola virus and more recently the Zika virus. And when we hear about that, we say, oh, that's terrible. Let's stop that. We've got to do something to get rid of that, to eradicate it. And if we heard that there was one person in Johnson City with either of those or some other deadly virus, we would say we got to do something to isolate them, to quarantine them so that they don't infect others. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's looking out for the good of the whole as well as that individual. And that's the idea that we're looking at in Hebrews 12:15, the root of bitterness. Could it happen today? I mean, we're not talking now about Israel and the land of the Canaanites and all those idols. Is that still something that could happen today? Let's talk about how Christians should understand this root of bitterness. And let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 once more. Hebrews chapter 12, and this time, let's put it back in its full context. Always a good idea when we're studying the Bible. Let's begin reading again in Hebrews 12, verse 12, go through verse 17. Let's try to understand, what is he trying to say here? Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. And when you look at that passage in its full context, there's one thing that comes out very clearly, and that is we've got to keep pressing on and looking out for one another, because otherwise, are we going to make it to our destination? Are we going to make it to our destination? Well, what is our destination? Heaven. To make it to eternal life after this life is over, of course. And that's what he means when he says in verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. How is it that I could fail to obtain the grace of God? How is it that you, let's make it personal, how is it that you might fail to obtain the grace of God? Well, he mentions several things there, one of which is the root of bitterness springing up. Other things are becoming unholy or sexually immoral. But the idea is we've got to be looking out for one another. It matters what happens to another, because this root of bitterness, as we saw in Deuteronomy 29, can have a widespread effect if we just turn our head and look the other way. And so the idea is we've got to look out for each other. We've got a destination to make, and it's going to take all of us pulling together. Let's understand this word better. Now, we understand the word root. I think that's pretty clear to most of us. But what about that word bitterness, the root of bitterness? It comes from a Greek word that literally means sharp. It came to have application to something that might taste very bad, and you've had those experiences, hopefully not this weekend, but you've had those experiences, and maybe even poisonous. That's how it came to be used. Something that you would eat or something you would drink that would make you say, ugh, this is awful, and might even have even worse effects of making you very ill. Maybe even killing you. And think, if you've ever had food poisoning, what a terrible experience that is. That's the idea that is suggested by the word that we're looking at here. We find it in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. Exodus 15 and verse 23, soon after leaving Egypt, the people of Israel now were thirsty, of course. They're traveling through wilderness, and they come to a body of water. Hey, this is what we need, right? When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That word bitter is the word that we're looking at in the Greek. And it simply means it was so sharp, it was so poisonous, no one dared drink it until Moses did what the Lord told him to do in order to make it drinkable. But you see, that's the idea. And think about this application of it found in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Now we're not talking about water or food, but an attitude. That's the idea now in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16, because here we read, who were those who heard and yet rebelled? And that comes from that same Greek word for bitterness. Who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And the idea there again is very clear. We can be following God, we can be listening to His word, but if there is anything within us or anything among the family, anybody that says, you know, maybe we don't have to listen to God. Maybe we don't have to follow God on this or that, because after all, it's not a pleasant thing that He asked us to do. It's not what we want to do. Maybe we don't have to listen to Him. That is bitter. That is rebellious. And that's what the writer is saying. Watch out for that attitude. Don't let it take root. And this idea, again, Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verses 18 and 19 again. This time, I'm going to read it from the NIV, which I think makes it a little more clear. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. When such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way. This will bring disaster. I hope you wouldn't do what this fellow's doing. You know, taking a rocking chair and setting it on the railroad tracks, not a good idea. Even if you somehow deceive yourself into thinking, this is safe, I know I'll be okay. No, you won't, not if there are trains that run on that track. And that idea is found in the Word of God pertaining to our attitude toward God. Listening to God, following God, having it His way instead of insisting on our own way. And therefore, this root of bitterness is an attitude that does not submit to the Lord, but insists on going another way. What is the fruit of this bitter root? Suppose there is a bitter root. How will we know it? What will be the fruit that comes from it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, we've heard many, many times, and for good reason. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, here Paul is talking generally about the resurrection, and yet there were those that said, well, there is no resurrection. And Paul is warning them about that kind of influence. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And people will affect us. Their views, their attitudes, we've got to realize they can have an effect on us. And if we allow it, if we tolerate it, then it may have a very bad influence. Donald Hogner, in his Understanding the Bible commentary on this passage, says the lapse of one member or more of the community will have its inevitable effect on others and is therefore to be prevented insofar as it is possible. And think about what we find in Matthew 26, verse 8. You remember this, how when Mary came to anoint the feet of Jesus with a very expensive perfume, the disciples began complaining. They began criticizing Mary and said, why did she waste this extravagant gift? It could have been used for others. But then when you go to John's account, in John 12 and verse 4, it says that Judas was the one who said that. Now, is there a conflict there? No. It is simply an illustration of what we're talking about. Judas began the criticism. He had the bad attitude toward what Mary was doing, and it affected the others around him, even the apostles. It can happen to us. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, there again is the root word that we're looking at in the Greek, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. In other words, don't have anything to do with it. Don't tolerate it. Zero tolerance. Put it away from you along with all malice. It is an attitude we must not have in the family of God. And James helps us understand how it may usually be noticed. James chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Hear what James says there. James 3, verses 10 and 11. From the same mouth, he's talking about the problem we have with our tongue. Some of us, all of us. James says, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? And that word salt is translated from, again, the same Greek word as bitter. In fact, that's how it's translated in the New King James. It's our words sometimes that betray the root of bitterness. And so sometimes as we're looking for that root of bitterness that the Hebrew writer says we've got to look out for, maybe we need to look at ourselves. Maybe we need to ask, am I the one that is spreading discontent? The one that is spreading criticism like Judas did? Is it me, Lord? Am I the root of bitterness? And after all, who is responsible here? I mean, the writer says, and let's look at it one more time, Hebrews 12, verse 15, he says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Whose responsibility is that? To see to it that no root of bitterness springs up. Well, ultimately, you're right. It is the elders. But sometimes they may not know about it for a while you or I may have heard this kind of attitude long before. And we're not talking about just pouncing on somebody and beating them into submission. We're not talking about just driving them away, but instead trying to change that whole attitude in love, trying to remind them of the principles that God gives us in His Word. Because we need each other. We all need each other if we're going to make it to heaven. Food recalls are pretty common in our society. You may have noticed in the news recently how several food items have been recalled because of listeria, a virus or bacteria of it can be pretty serious. Some, it just causes mild problems. Others, it can be deadly. And is that overreacting? Should the FDA be admonished? Don't do that, you know. It's just a little bit, just a few containers of salsa or ice cream. Don't get so concerned about it. Well, what if it's you that gets that carton with listeria? Would you not be concerned about that? It is a big deal. And that kind of influence, that kind of poison can be harmful. And it's that way for the church as well. The ESV Study Bible makes this note. It says, a bitter and resentful person is like a contagious poison, spreading his resentment to others. And we're not asking anybody to overlook real problems that can exist in the church. We're not saying just be quiet and accept whatever. No, we're not saying that, because if there are problems, they need to be brought to light, but with the right attitude, in the way that the Lord has shown us. Let's make sure that we are not that root of bitterness, and if we detect its fruit anywhere among us, let's act quickly. With love, but let's make sure this root of bitterness does not spring up and thus defile many. The Lord's way is always best. The Lord's way is always best. And today, if you're not following in the Lord's steps, I urge you to make that decision before you leave today. If you're not yet a child of God, then confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins and allowing someone to baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of all those sins. Let's make that decision today. We'd love to help you with that. And then having made that decision, let's walk together, let's be faithful, let's do as the Lord tells us to do and to be what the Lord tells us to be. And if along the way you, like any of the rest of us, have stumbled or sinned in some way, let's repent of that and pray for God's forgiveness. He wants to forgive. And if you'll repent of that sin and pray for forgiveness, God will forgive. Can we pray with you? Can we help you in any way? Come as we stand and sing.